Are you tired of the same boring and unhealthy diet of corporate media propaganda and the distraction du jour? Your antidote is here at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Real, revolutionary, and relevant news and talk with fascinating and brilliant guests. Prepare to be informed and motivated with your friend and host, Cindy Sheehan.
Welcome back to the Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. This week, our engineer, Soapbox engineer, Don DeBar, and the producer and commentator for CPR Metro will be giving an analysis and commentary on Hillary the Hawk Clinton. I'm traveling now, so I didn't have a chance to do the Soapbox, but I think this is very timely and very good information. So stay tuned and stay tuned. And we'll be right back with Don DeBar.
When Cindy asked me to do this, it was by coincidence the same day that I was asked by Peter Laval from RT to do crosstalk on exactly the same topic, Hillary Clinton. After seeing this playback, I thought this is a perfect example of the material that I would have presented here in the absence of having already done so at RT. So this is from the program Crosstalk from RT this past Thursday, the 12th of May, 2016, and it includes David Swanson, who's the anti-war activist down in North Carolina, and Richard Goodstein, who's a lawyer and lobbyist from Washington, D.C., who has worked for the Clintons for a couple of decades. Thank you very much, Cindy, and thank you to the audience of The Soapbox. I hope you enjoy this. And by the way, the host of Crosstalk is Peter Laval. It was a lot of fun. Here we go.
Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Laval. Few have run for the presidency with the kind of name recognition as Hillary Clinton. She has an established name and is also the establishment's trusted candidate. Though among many voters, she has significant negatives. Barring an upset, she is positioned to win her party's nomination. The question is, can she win the hearts and minds and votes of the American people? To Crosstalk Hillary Clinton, I'm joined by my guest, Don DeBar, in New York. He's an anti-war activist, as well as a host of a daily radio program. In Washington, we have Richard Goodstein. He is a Democratic political strategist and former advisor to President Clinton and Hillary Clinton's last presidential campaign. And in Charlottesville, we cross to David Swanson. He is the director of worldbeyondwar.org. All right, gentlemen, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump in anytime you want, and I very much encourage it. Don, if I can go to you first in New York, few candidates have actually run with as many negatives and deep negatives as Hillary Clinton. And she only is a little bit worse off than, well, let's say the other candidate there, Donald Trump. But the interesting thing is that out of the West Virginia primary, 39% of the people that voted for Bernie Sanders said in an exit poll that they could possibly vote for Donald Trump in the general election. Where is the Hillary Clinton campaign stand right now? Oh, by the way, Joe Biden said he would have made the best president. Go ahead.
I think, first of all, you have to look at the history of the way these statistics are used, how they derive, and what has happened before that they're used to measure. I think this year you have an entirely different game on the ground where people are much more inclined to vote over issues because, frankly, the situation is a lot more desperate than they are over either party affiliation or things like experience and other issues that are, you know, maybe less. I'd like to remind people, by the way, one of Clinton's biggest talking points is her experience both being in the White House as First Lady, in the Senate, and as Secretary of State. Remind you that when Bill Clinton was elected, his experience was being governor of Arkansas, essentially, you know, a swamp in the center of the United States, not exactly a prerequisite to developing foreign policy or a national economic perspective. But the thing that I think think people are voting on this year is the things that are essential to them. They want a job. They see the foreign policy aspects of treaties and things that deal with the economy as having sold them out, transferred their jobs abroad. Both Trump and Sanders are speaking to that. And Hillary Clinton, to the extent she has experience, her experience lies in, for example, helping to sell NAFTA and backing almost every other treaty like that all the way down the line up until her recent departure from the Department of State.
Okay, Richard, she does face a lot of negatives, and there are more and more people. The polls, she's getting clobbered in the polls in the sense that it's turning into a dead heat. And we have across the board in the last few primaries where independents are more inclined to vote for Trump and not Clinton. Now, where does her campaign stand right now? If you look at historically, it's not very good. It should be very different by this point in time in her party's nomination. Go ahead.
So, you know, it's interesting, Peter. So ask yourself, who is more strongly behind Donald Trump at this point? I'll answer your question about Hillary in a second. Is it the leaders of the Republican Party, considering all the people that have insisted they're not going to back him, or are there leaders of the white supremacist group who are four square behind Donald Trump? Okay, that's kind of that's what the country is facing in the United States, is kind of a candidate who appeals to racism, bigotry, xenophobia, and misogyny versus somebody, frankly, let's talk about the Bill Clinton presidency. What about it do you think people don't like, the peace or the prosperity? Which part of that do you think people do not want to go back to? I think people would give their right arm to have the kind of job creation, economic growth, and the absence of a loss of U.S. troops. That people would give their right arm to have that.
Okay.
Versus it's sanity versus insanity in this race.
Okay.
I
want to go to David first, and then we can open it up. We just still have to go to David first. Go ahead, David. You want to respond to anything we've heard so far? Go ahead.
Well, first, it's interesting that asked to say something nice about Hillary, we hear something bad about Trump and something nice but false about Bill. I first of all want to reject the idea that the Democratic primary is over. It isn't. There are nearly 900 actual delegates left to be won. Bernie Sanders needs to win nearly 600 of those to take the majority of the actual delegates. Then you have a struggle over the superdelegates. One state has already instructed its superdelegates to follow the actual votes of that state. You know, that struggle has to happen. And that's a much more difficult case for Hillary to make, even than against Trump, is against Bernie Sanders. She is the furthest thing from a decent liberal humanitarian candidate. She's the most corrupt, bought-off candidate we've seen in decades. She is the most warmongering, militaristic candidate we have seen in decades. The neocons are backing her over Trump. She is the candidate of those who want lots more wars. And she ran the most corrupt
and
Henry Kissinger called the best Department of State in the history of the U.S.
David.
Government.
Okay,
excuse
I want to be fair. Richard, jump in,
listen,
and then we'll go to Don. Go ahead. Go ahead, Richard. Go ahead.
There's only one candidate running for president who says that we should nuke ISIS, that we should use nuclear weapons in Europe, that we should make sure that Japan and South Korea have nuclear weapons. So you talk about warmongering. There's only one candidate who thinks that there should be a spread of nuclear weapons, and his name is Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton, the most admired woman in the world in the Gallup poll for 18 of the past 21 years. So you want to say something good about it? Yes. The American people think that she is the most admired woman in the world,
well,
and for good reason.
Well, Richard, let's make it very clear here. Let's make it very clear. She's the darling of the establishment of the Democratic Party and the donors. Let's be clear about that.
Yeah.
Donald, you want to jump in? Go ahead. Donald,
go ahead.
That's
not true. That's not true. Peter, that's a myth. The fact is she's gotten 3 million more votes than Bernie Sanders.
It's not over yet. It's not over yet, and we'll talk about superdelegates and their legitimacy in a second. Okay.
That's a fantasy.
Let's let the voters decide what's real and what's fantasy. Don in New York, jump in.
Let's deal with policy instead of polls, okay? And the poll is going to be in November. In terms of policy, first of all, today they're lighting up an anti-ballistic missile system or a component of NATO's anti-ballistic missile system in Romania, right next to Russia. Okay, this is an outgrowth of a policy that was begun by Bill Clinton in 1993 of expanding NATO up to Russia's borders. And we're looking now at a period where the implementation of hypersonic missiles, that is missiles that are much faster than the cruise missiles that destabilized Europe in the 1980s, are coming online very soon in response to this and in response to that response. We're looking at being under the gun more than ever in history at a time when we're closer to war with Russia than we have been since October of 1962. Both Bill Clinton and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton are completely and totally implicated in that policy and its design. So Donald Trump, for all his craziness, whatever Tourette's comes out of his mouth about foreign policy, which, by the way, includes, hey, isn't NATO outdated? Maybe we should make people pay for their own defense and not be so forward-based. We don't need war with Russia or China, etc. That's part of his mix. We don't hear any of that coming out of Hillary Clinton's mouth, and she's got a long record, as does her husband, as does President Obama, of creating the preconditions for World War III and moving forward.
Okay,
so what are you talking about?
We can talk about what someone might do given a hypothetical. If I go to David in Charlottesville, but we don't have to look for a hypothetical in the case of Hillary Clinton. Look what happened to Libya.
Exactly. Who cares about her phony personality that Jon Stewart is upset about? She has a decades-long record of backing every military enterprise she could get her hands on. Yes, she led the push for the illegal and disastrous and immoral overthrow of the government in Libya that proliferated arms around that region. She wants the same in Syria. She says President Obama was wrong not to bomb the entire nation of Syria in 2013, which probably would have put ISIS in charge of that place. She still wants a no-fly zone bombing campaign in Syria, despite the fact that ISIS doesn't have an airplane. She's the only candidate running who calls Vladimir Putin Hitler, who facilitated a coup in Ukraine, who, as Don just said, supported this movement of NATO to Russia's borders. She pushed for the war on Iraq in 2013 with all of the White House lies. She pushed for an escalation of that war before George W. Bush did. She has pushed for the drone strikes and would escalate the drone strikes. She has pushed for every war she could get her hands on. She took $10 million into her family foundation from Saudi Arabia and $900,000 from Boeing while Secretary of State and waived the restrictions on selling the weapons to Saudi Arabia that are now being used to slaughter families in Yemen. And now they've escalated it to putting U.S. troops on the ground in Yemen. These small-scale ground wars in Yemen and Syria and Iraq that have resulted from the drone wars and the disastrous policies of Clinton and Obama are on the table to be escalated by this mad woman who giggles at the killing of Gaddafi and the sodomizing of him with a knife, who threatens to obliterate Iran if Iran steps out of line. I mean, to put someone like this in a place with a finger on nuclear weapons is just sheer madness.
Okay, let me go to Richard before we go to the break here. Richard, would it be fair to say to describe Hillary Clinton's foreign policy as neoconservative?
Hillary Clinton's policy is to make sure that American interests are protected around the world. And an example of where her U.S. interests were protected was keeping Muammar Gaddafi from slaughtering Libyans by the tens of thousands, which was happening right before
that's just a media myth that is repeated over and over and
well, you know
over
what,
again.
Peter, you know,
go
we
ahead.
May have to agree to disagree.
Fine.
We may have to agree to disagree about this. When I hear Don and David, as you know, when I'm in kind of some negotiation with somebody, if the other person is living in a dream world, like the idea that Bernie Sanders might be the Democratic nominee, I kind of sit back and go, great. Maintain your fantasy thinking. So that whole litany of abuses that we just heard is fantasy. And I'm glad, as a political person, to have the other really? Party live in this dream
let's
world, the
it,
same
right,
dream
right.
world that thought
they, you're
going to
get a very good, robust response, but only after our break. After a short break, we'll continue our discussion on Hillary Clinton. One of the things I like most about this program is that you can hear stark differences in political discourse. So we've achieved that so far. Don, you wanted to react to what Richard said before we went to the break. And I'm glad Richard is smiling, because I am open to a wider spectrum of opinion here. And that's really good for discourse here. OK, so I thank all of my guests equally. Go ahead, Don. You want to jump in? Go ahead.
Yeah, and maybe I can get schooled here somewhere, too. I mean, what Richard was saying basically is that what I described before in terms of Clinton foreign policy was a fantasy. So if you're a lawyer, let's deal with facts and evidence. In the first place, I said essentially that Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, and during her time in the Senate in terms of allowing this to happen, moved the front line of NATO, against a promise made by Ronald Reagan and George Bush I, from the division line between West and East Germany to the Russian border. Now, you did not have NATO members, Poland, Bulgaria, Romania, Czech Republic, et cetera, and as a matter of fact, the eastern part of Germany. That was the agreement when Bill Clinton took office in January 20th, 1993. When he left office January 20th of 2000, you had almost all of those. So Bill Clinton did, in fact, move NATO up to Russia's borders. Would you agree with that?
Well, that's a fact. That's a fact. I don't.
I would say, Don, it's very interesting. Okay. It's very interesting to me that you talk about Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton in the Senate without talking about George W. Bush's 8 years in the White House.
I'm getting there.
The fact of the matter is,
I'm getting there.
You know, when we see, when we see Russian-paid military equipment shooting down innocent aircraft over the Ukraine, yes. We do need a robust NATO.
We need a fact check here. So Richard, you're saying Russia shot down MH17. Is that what you're saying, Richard?
Okay.
Are you saying that, Richard?
No, I'm not saying
Okay.
Peter,
what are you talking about?
I use my words very carefully. I said Russian paid equipment. There's no disagreement
Russian made equipment or paid equipment? What are you talking about?
I said that the people in eastern Ukraine who shot down that plane did not pay for that military equipment, that was Russian equipment that was supplied by the Russians.
How do you know they did that? What evidence do you have that, Richard? Again, why do you keep spreading these media rumors over and over again? There is no evidence of that.
Even
the Dutch investigation came to no conclusion, and at the same time, they wouldn't use any American intelligence data. I mean, you have to ask a very simple question. What kind of report is that, and why do they want people to draw certain conclusions without evidence? I don't want this program to be on that. I would like to actually, gentlemen, to be honest, to keep focus more on domestic policy. I'm going to go to David Swanson
I think
that's really important here. On this program, we do foreign policy every single episode. Let's move it a little bit. David, a lot of people would say that Hillary Clinton is completely out of touch with the average person in America, particularly the middle class, to people in the service sector, workers. She seems very distant, and she seems to really be the greatest ally of all parties of Wall Street. Go ahead, David.
Well, she is. And first of all, sticking on foreign policy for 3 seconds, go to HillaryIsANeocon.com. The facts on which, and the videos of her, which are hard to dispute because they're videos, I barely scratched the surface of before being told I was living in a dreamland. On domestic policy, she is the same. She takes money from the biggest we call them contributors, donors. Other nations call them bribers and corruptors. But she is funded by the biggest banks, by Walmart, by the oil companies. And it plays into her agenda abroad as well, imposing fracking on countries like Bulgaria. But this is what she does at home. She pretends, and people are cheering for Bernie Sanders. Hooray, you've gotten her to pretend to share some of your agenda. She's now against corporate trade policies. Don't believe it for a minute. She is funded by the same people that funded her when she was in favor of disastrous corporate trade policies for years and years. Now she's slightly against mass incarceration. She's in favor of what she calls a proper level of, you know, she's against over mass incarceration. Don't believe it for a minute. She is in favor of what she's paid to be in favor of. She says, oh, I just take the money. It doesn't impact me. But you look down the line at her actions and her funders, and they line right up. And it's the foreign nations that put millions into her family foundation that she waived restrictions on selling weapons to. It's the weapons companies that paid her and the oil companies that paid her
that got the special deals. Let me go to Don here. I mean, you know, there's so many different ways you can look at this campaign in 2016. It's fascinating. There's so much to talk about here. But it seems to me that it's really an insurrection within both parties here. And it's basically the donors have lost out, the major donors lost out in the Republican Party, and they got Trump. And then in the Democratic Party, it's really Bernie Sanders fighting the establishment. And again, huge money. Go ahead.
You know, well, first of all, to follow the line we were having before that goes right into this point, you had absolute continuity of foreign policy from Clinton to George Bush to Barack Obama with respect to Russia. After moving NATO up to Russia's borders, that was Clinton, and then filled in a little bit by George Bush. You had George Bush in December of 2001, not even a year into his first term, abrogating the ABM treaty. He had made a big speech about why that was necessary and almost looking up in the air as if an airplane was going to hit him. But that the abrogation of that treaty is what brings us to where we are today, this very day, where an ABM system and or its components are being set up in Romania right next to Russia. And so you've had absolute continuity between Democrats, Republicans, and Democrats who are among them since even before Bill Clinton, but certainly including Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, and of course as her vote on Iraq and other germane matters illustrates, while she was in the Senate. And of course the same interests are behind both parties that result in those policies being bipartisan consensus policies. On the other hand, you have, for example, most of the people that voted against the Iraq war resolution, those of note are either dead or driven out of Congress.
Yeah.
You know, Paul Wellstone is gone. You had Cynthia McKinney and Dennis Kucinich got driven out through one mechanism or another. Most of the leading voices that remained have changed their tune. And so the people inside know that this is the way things play as well. Bernie Sanders, regardless of where he actually lies himself, sits on top of a movement of people who are, A, motivated by the losses that they've suffered as working people and middle class people in this country, looking for a remedy there, sitting under mountains of debt from college, from health care, from housing, many of them millions of people in foreclosure. Trump likewise. And there is a unity of interest among those people underneath both Trump and Clinton.
Yep.
That people that are really interested in dealing with the right wing and dealing with corporate America and all of that ought to be trying to organize into one political force. And that force will not be served by either Hillary Clinton or, in my opinion, Donald Trump.
Okay. You know, Richard, one of the great things about having your own political talk show like this is that I get to ask questions that actually interest me. So I'm going to ask you, because you're a very knowledgeable person about the Democratic Party, how is Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders going to make peace? Because she doesn't seem very open to it, at least right now.
Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is, 8 years ago, incidentally, we think of Barack Obama being this fabulous politician and Hillary not being. She got more votes in the primaries in 2008 than Barack Obama did.
I don't think anyone on the panel thinks Obama is a good politician, but keep going. Go ahead. Go ahead.
In this point, 8 years ago, there were a higher percentage in the polls of Hillary Clinton supporters who said they would never vote for Barack Obama than there are of Bernie Sanders voters saying the same thing about Hillary Clinton today. And what happened is, what I suspect will happen here, Hillary basically figuratively and literally put her arm around Barack Obama and said to her supporters, if you supported me, you support him. And what Bernie Sanders will say to his supporters is, if you believe what I believe on climate change, on civil rights, on gay and lesbian rights, and go down the list, worker rights, etc., if you truly believe about those things, there is a chasm of difference between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And if you truly believe those things, which is why you supported me, You need to support Hillary Clinton. I guarantee you, Peter,
I don't
we
think,
will
I don't
be
think
on
it's
the air sometime
happen.
After Election Day.
I just don't think it's going to happen this time. I really don't. Because the Bernie
sell.
Sanders
let's,
people.
You want to bet
the
right
Bernie
here
Sanders
on the air,
people, the Bernie Sanders people are interested in something that Hillary Clinton isn't. They're interested in social justice. David in Charlottesville, go ahead.
So you think they're indifferent to climate change?
Well,
are they indifferent
I
to civil
I don't,
rights?
I don't think Hillary
are they indifferent
Clinton,
to gay
I don't think
are they
Hillary
truly
Clinton gives a hoot about
things?
The average person
about,
in America at all. I don't think she cares at all about average people. All right, we're almost out of time here.
Look, there,
David,
there are
you
a couple
jump?
Of problems
let's
with
be
this.
Fair, hey, gents, hey, gents, come on, let's be fair with time. David, jump in. Go ahead.
A couple of problems here. One is, once again, the primary is not over, and you can make predictions and how likely or unlikely, but it is absolutely entirely possible for actual voters in primaries to deny Hillary Clinton the majority of the actual delegates, and then we take it from there. Second, I am certainly one of the millions and millions in the polls who have said that Bernie Sanders is decent enough that I could vote for him, but I would never, ever vote for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. You know, you can look at the polls and say, oh, well, we want to run Hillary against Trump because she's the more establishment candidate. But you can't say because she's the stronger candidate, because poll after poll after poll, month after month after month, Bernie Sanders polls much better against Trump than Hillary does. So you're picking the candidate who's more likely to put Trump in office with the argument that, well, at least she's a little bit different from Trump, as if Bernie Sanders isn't different from Trump. Thirdly, you can't go down this path of lesser evilism infinitely, because every time you're given a pair of candidates who are both more evil than the worst candidate was in the previous cycle. This is a path to disaster. At some
point,
you have to say, you know what? Neither of these characters is good enough.
I have to jump in here, gentlemen. We've run out of time. Many thanks to my guests in New York and Washington and Charlottesville.
That's the Soapbox for this week. As always, I hope you were informed and inspired to further research and further action. And please check out CPR Metro and, of course, Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'd like to thank Don DeBar for being my guest and commentator and guest host this week. I'd like to thank him very much, and also being our weekly engineer. And I'd like to thank you for listening and supporting Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to The Soapbox. Peace out for now.